Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Friday morning. Thanks for joining us at supertalk.fm or wherever it is you get podcasts from. We appreciate all you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. We want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. Be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Atlanta.
That would be a little weird.
Yeah. Ever been to Atlanta?
Not Atlanta, Mississippi.
You haven't?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Where is it?
It is in Chickasaw County.
I bet I have been there then.
Just a little southwest, almost directly south of Vardaman, southwest of Houston.
Then I likely have been through there.
5.6 miles south of Vardaman.
Just outside of the sweet potato capital of the world.
That's right. That's right.
In the middle of the Rams and the Hilltoppers.
Let me ask you a question. Let me get your thoughts. What if we get Strange Brew to do a Vardaman sweet potato brew coffee? Could you make sweet? You know, they have blueberry coffee. Could sweet potatoes make a coffee?
I bet they could.
Flavored coffee.
I bet they could.
We might be onto something here. Vardaman, you know, some Mississippi products. That could be a $1 million idea.
What is it about that area? So, like I just mentioned, Vardaman is the Rams.
Yeah.
Houston is the Hilltoppers, which aren't they kind of a, isn't that like a ram?
I just always thought it was like somebody just walked up a hill. I never knew there was an animal involved.
I thought that their logo is like a ram. I'm pretty sure.
Let's have a look. Yeah, it is a ram. It is a ram. So it's like a mountain goat, you know?
So, I'm not saying that goats aren't common around here because I see them all the time on, like, right off the road I live on. But it just seems kind of strange that you have rams and goats or whatever.
One of them, but they're both that. It makes you think that there's some good. There, at one time, they had a goat infestation or something.
Another thing that really doesn't make sense to me, and I'm sorry we're getting off, but sometimes it happens. So Carthage High School in that area, they consolidate.
Okay.
In Lee County. Lee County now has two high schools. Mm-hmm. I believe they just have two. Lee Central and Lee County.
Okay.
They are both green and blue.
Mm-hmm.
They both have the same, like, initials or whatever.
Yeah, LCLC.
LCHS.
Yeah.
And they're both the Gators.
That's no good.
And evidently, I was told way back that, like, they voted, like, I think, like, the student body, like, voted on this. Like, they all voted, like, well, we'll be the Gators. Sounds good. So they both have the same color scheme, and they're both the same mascot.
I don't like that one bit.
Me neither.
Because you don't know who to trust. You see somebody wearing a blue and green shirt that just says Gators on it. You're like, it's like you've seen Blue Chips.
Yes.
Where he's like, I was raised in the Baptist church. First Baptist or Southern Baptist? You got to go up to somebody like Lee County or Lee Central.
Yeah. You know? Yep. And if they have LCHS on there, you're just like, yeah.
Yeah. I don't like that. That one bit. That doesn't work for me. Like, you go to Vicksburg, and Vicksburg is the Gators, and they wear green and white, and Warren Central is the Vikings, and they wear red, white, and blue, and never the twain shall meet.
That's right. Should be a clear, distinct – I mean,
especially East Webster, Nippora. Yeah. Like,
East Webster and Nippora absolutely hate each other's guts. They're both maroon and white.
I don't like that. But one is what? The Eagles, and what is Nippora?
The Wolverines.
Yeah. No, East Webster.
Which, again –
East Webster's.
I'm sorry. East Webster's Wolverines, you poor Eagles.
Yeah.
Yeah, are there Wolverines? Are there a lot of Wolverines around Webster County?
That's just a good mascot name. You know, that's just a good
one. But still.
Yeah. Wherever you are in our great state, if you want to enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning, it's right there at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. Place your order, and it'll be shipped right to you. And, of course, you're supporting the Bulldog Initiative, just like you do with our friends at Pip Printing and Signs. So we have a job for. We have something we need. We need some printing done, so we need to call them. And I guess, now, can we get Thunder and Lightning LLC as a sponsor of the Bulldog Initiative? Is that how that's going to work? Because what we want is a picture framed and mounted big enough to go on this wall in here of Rick Stansberry giving the choke sign to Carl Hess when he got thrown out of the Ole Miss game in 2004. We were discussing this game last night after the Northwestern game, and you saw Chris Collins get thrown out. And I was like, it's got nothing on Stansberry giving him the choke sign. And I was like, I need a painting of that. I need a framed photo. And Robbie Sue made the suggestion, why don't we call Pip Printing? So Camden, if you're listening, need that for the office here, if you can make that happen. And if you need marketing materials or you need signage, envelopes, forms, banners, anything for your business, call Pip Printing and Signs. And when you send your business there, they're going to send money to the Bulldog Initiative. 10% of whatever sale you make. That's money you're already spending on printing. Spend it with Pip Printing and Signs, 601-499-5216. When you need printing, call Pip today. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for. They have Central Mississippi's biggest and best selection of it. Two locations to serve you in the Jackson area, Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Flowood by the Half Shell. Or you can always shop online, collegecornerstore.com. And for Valentine's Day, you get somebody, get a special someone some new MSU gear. You can get it at College Corner. Speaking of Valentine's Day, you guys might want to make a reservation if you haven't done it already. It's kind of that you don't want to be that guy. You don't want to be that guy coming home and be like, oh honey, I thought we'd just stay home tonight. You don't want to be that guy. So make your reservation at Restaurant Tyler now for a fantastic meal for Valentine's Day or any day. Hey, let me ask you this, Robbie. Could you get away with it if you're like, look, I tried to make a reservation for Valentine's Day, but they were totally booked, but we're going on Thursday. We're going on the 15th. All right. Could you get away with that? You could? Okay. That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. That means you have a wife who's not an extremist.
She's very understandable. Like she's one of those, like, me and her on the same page about convenience.
Yeah, I got you.
And like if something just doesn't make sense on Valentine's Day,
yeah,
it's fine. We'll just go the next
day. Very good.
Yeah.
So there you go. Make your reservation. Get a great dinner every time you're out at Restaurant Tyler. 16 Priority One Bank locations throughout Central Mississippi. That means there's one nearby to serve you. If you live in Central Mississippi and you want to have a banking relationship that has that small town feel but gives you everything that one of those big corporate bank does from a financial standpoint, you can get that with Priority One. If you're a Priority One customer, you already know how great their app is. It's a smooth, streamlined mobile app. You can do anything that you can do in a Priority One Bank branch there. You can do a lot more than just move around your money. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. What's your favorite Mississippi high school mascot?
Man, now that you put me on the spot.
Mm.
Like the name?
The name, yeah. Not everybody has a mascot.
The Whippets from Kosciuszko.
A good choice. It's a good choice.
Yep. That's easily my favorite name for a mascot.
Okay.
Mississippi.
Is it East Union that's the Urchins?
Yes.
That's mine. I wasn't sure if it was East or West, but I knew it was one of the Union counties was it the Urchins. That's mine.
Yeah. Now their color scheme is the absolute worst in human history.
What is it?
It's like brown and like mustard yellow.
That's not great. Well, I mean, it's like Wyoming.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's basically so, Wyoming's color.
I also like, is it Kossuth? That's the Aggies, but their uniforms look like Texas.
I think that's right. I thought they had maroon in them.
No, I think Kossuth wears burnt orange and let me look.
Well, yep. If only we knew someone like a, you know, that was on the beat that went to Kossuth.
Yeah.
Do we? Like Tanner Marler.
Oh, okay then.
Yeah, they're maroon.
Okay, they are maroon. Okay, okay. I'm almost right. Okay, they wear maroon and white, but they have a Longhorn. It's like Texas's uniform, Texas's logo with Texas A&M's colors.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, that I like. I like that. So,
that's correct.
Yeah, my least favorite. Well, it's not my least favorite, but it makes me laugh every time. Is Jackson St. Joe? They're the Bruins, right? So they were the Rebels until like the late 70s, right? And they decided, you know, I can't imagine why they decided to change their mascot, but
I know.
But so they became the Bruins, and they named themselves after the at that time the bishop of the Diocese of Jackson, Bishop Brunini, right? So they became the Bruins. Problem with this theory is that Bishop Brunini went to St. Al. So you named your mascot after an alum of your biggest rival. Imagine if State just came out today like, we're changing. We're not longer the Bulldogs. We're now the Mannings. Mississippi Mannings as of today. I mean,
there would be an uproar.
It would be a little bit of an uproar. We're the Kayats.
So the W changed its name. Mm-hmm. To Brightwell or something.
No, there was enough public outcry there.
That's what I was gonna say. So now they're doing another one.
Yeah.
And I was talking to somebody today who went to school there, and she said that they're still trying to get like the word bright or something in the title.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they won't go away from that.
Okay.
So I might be some more outcry there. I don't know.
I'd say they should name it after their most famous alum, Logan Lowry University.
I was about to say Eudora Welty or
no. Doesn't want that. Her family's like negative, not interested in having it named after her. So, whatever.
Yeah, I saw that. So,
well, there you go. If I ever
have a college named after your highly accomplished grandmother or
I don't know
whoever.
I don't know. There's some other issue there. I don't know what it is. So I'll always say that if I'm ever on if I'm ever on the dozen with Brandon Walker, my niche category might be Mississippi high school nicknames. I know a lot of them for some reason. So
I do too.
All right, let me think here. Lake Cormorant.
They're the Gators too, aren't they?
Right, yeah. You got one for me? See if I can get it. Obscure you can go. Don't pick one of those new schools, though. Don't give me something that just opened 5 years ago.
Well, I got thinking of an obscure school.
Okay.
That I for sure off the top of my head know.
Okay.
Pass Christian.
Ooh, that's a good one. I don't know them. Are they? They're like a Warriors or something. Oh, I guess not. He gave me the look. Pass Christian. I don't know.
That's not a team that you think of.
Yeah, what is that?
Very often. They're the Pirates.
Ah! I thought Pearl was the only Pirates in the state. Dang. Okay.
Pass Christian.
Biggersville.
Lions.
Right. They're the only Lions in the state, to my knowledge.
Oh, there's got to be some more Lions out there.
I think there's a ton of Tigers and Panthers. There's not a lot of Lions. This is a whole show. 40 minutes.
Well, it kind of coincides with our naming random.
Somebody sent us a tweet about that. Like, this is how you should do it. I'm like, shut up. What? Like, first off, we're like 7 months away from doing it. But secondly, I already know how we're going to do it. I've already got that in my head. We're gonna do it with rumblings. Instead of sending questions, you're gonna send dudes.
Yes,
that's not,
we're just gonna talk about our favorite memories of those guys.
Yeah, that's exactly what we're gonna do. It can be any dude you want. It doesn't have to be Mississippi State. Yeah. Woo! What a we are rolling today.
Yes. Why not?
So this is our first chance to talk really because we did the rumblings yesterday about Mississippi State's game at Ole Miss, and then of course they play Saturday. Against the Alabama Crimson Tide. Alabama was down big to Georgia and then came back and won that game. Weird.
That was insane.
There have been some weird results this week. That is one of them. Even though Alabama was favored, Georgia, the way that game played out was weird. Florida goes to Rupp and beats Kentucky. Obviously, we had South Carolina beating Tennessee, winning at Tennessee the other day. It's a bad week for the can't win on the road narratives that we've tried.
And they beat Kentucky, didn't they?
They beat Kentucky at home, but yes, they have beaten them. I mean, South Carolina, that's at this point, that's not a bad loss for Mississippi State anymore.
So, no. Especially when knowing you had a chance to win.
What were your thoughts from Tuesday night in Oxford, though? What did you think about what you saw?
There's plenty of things that you can look at, and I get the, you know, the people that are upset about how that game played out, and certainly Mississippi State had their chance there at the end. But anytime you go on the road and you play in a tough environment like that in the SEC, you've got to dock yourself, you know, like 6 to 8 points, if not more, because you're going to be – there's going to be some situations where you're rattled a little bit. You're going to probably miss some free throws here and there. You're probably going to turn the ball over more than usual, things like that. So you're already behind the eight ball when you go in. I thought the way that Mississippi State handled itself in that second half, I was actually impressed with Mississippi State in the second half and in a large part of the first half too. Because, first of all, Ole Miss couldn't miss, and we knew that they were going to shoot well for the most part. They've done that most of the year. They've been a really good three-point shooting team. Mississippi State dominated them on the boards. Mississippi State got a ton from Deshaun Davis, who we said needed to step up at some point. They got some big shots from Shaquille Moore. Josh Hubbard was fantastic in the game. And you did that with Tolu Smith not playing well at all. And for all the, you know, the vitriol that Cam Matthews got late in that ball game, and I get it, missed two free throws badly. He had, what, 16 and 12?
Yeah.
And like five assists or something. He was on the verge of a triple-double in that game. So you scored 80-plus points. You gave up too many points. You didn't get enough stops down the stretch. You turned the ball over 15 times, and you gave up nearly 20 points off turnovers. Those things can't happen. You've got to get stops defensively. Second half, they didn't do it. You cannot turn the ball over like that. You single-handedly kept Ole Miss in the ball game in the first half because you couldn't stop turning it over, and they were scoring points off of it. So it's kind of a, you know, I'm kind of torn on how I feel about that game, but it was going to be a very difficult game for Mississippi State to win in that environment with a team that was shooting 50-plus percent. It was going to be tough. All you can ask for is to have a chance to win the game. You didn't do it. And that's the bottom line, is Mississippi State did not win the game. They got to win those at some point. They're going to have to win a couple of SEC road games to get in the tournament, I think.
Yeah, there's no question about that. I mean, when you look at their schedule, you know, coming up, you know, opportunity, obviously this weekend, but not a great opportunity because Alabama's very good. Missouri, at Missouri is a game you should be able to win at. At LSU, you're going to have a chance to win there. And I would say at College Station, that's a game that Mississippi State can go in there and win. So of your how many road games do they have left? They have Alabama. They're at Alabama, at Missouri, at LSU, at Auburn. That's going to be really, really tough. At Texas A&M. So five remaining road games. You have a realistic chance to win three of them. And if they do that, and then they take care of their business at home, if they can beat Georgia, beat Arkansas, beat Ole Miss, obviously the game with Kentucky will be tough. And then South Carolina at the end of the season, that's going to be a game for seeding. That's going to be a game where, you know, the winner of that game is going to be in really good shape for the tournament. The other one's going to be probably looking at like a 7 or 8 seed, something like that. So some big games remain for Mississippi State. There's the thing about Alabama this year. They're good. They're not nearly as good as they were a season ago. And they're beatable. State had a lot of opportunities to put that game away a few weeks ago, and then simply could not do it. They have a chance this weekend to go to Tuscaloosa. And what's odd from last year is State would played much better in this game a year ago in Tuscaloosa than they did in Starkville, and really had a great opportunity to win it and just let it get away from them at the end. I think the biggest key is you can't have three games in a row where Tolu Smith is scoring 9 points. He's got to get back to what he is normally doing, and that's getting you 15 and 8 or 9 rebounds a game. If he's not doing that, I mean, I'm glad to see State's role players starting to step up a bit, and I think they can continue to do so, but you got to have your stars playing like stars, and Tolu has to start doing that starting this game Saturday.
The disappointing thing about that is I didn't think Ole Miss's post players were a factor in that game, like at all. They didn't get anything out of Jamarion Sharp. Both 7-footers were pretty much non-factors. Moussa Cisse was in foul trouble, and you still could not get him going. He had a couple of baskets in the second half, but for the most part, just didn't really get things going. And I think, you know, he was sick. I think he's dealing with a little bit of an illness, and that can always play a factor. But same time, he's got to be more productive than that. And I think another thing that is key for Mississippi State, the games where they are in the fight with Alabama and it doesn't feel like they're climbing uphill, they're dictating the pace of the ball game. And I've always said that about this Mississippi State team. To feel the games where you really feel good about what Mississippi State's doing, they're really locking up on the defensive end. I mean, the Auburn game, State scored in the 60s. But the entire game, you felt like State was in a good position the whole game. You held Tennessee to 21 points in the first half. And in the second half, you're sitting there like you feel like State's fighting for their lives with a double-digit lead at halftime because Tennessee was on pace. They were on their pace. And they got in the ball game, and it just felt like State was kind of struggling, but they did pull that one out. The games where it feels like Mississippi State is in control is literally because they are in control. What they're doing is dictating the pace of the ball game. They're keeping the other team out of that pace. And Alabama scored, I think, 58 in the second half against Georgia yesterday. They had 27 in the first half. I think they dropped 58 in the second half, if I'm not mistaken. And they scored like 41 points in like a 10-12 minute span. So they can score in bunches. They can score in a hurry. State has got to eliminate that. They did that last year on the road. They held them to their kind of play. They just couldn't make shots. They didn't make a single three-pointer, I don't think, in that game. And that was really the difference is State could not make shots. Alabama was able to make a couple of shots, and they were able to win in the 60s. State's got to make this a six. This game's got to be in the 60s, low 70s. I agree with that. Don't think they can live – playing in the 80s. Like, I just don't think that this program under Chris Jans, I'm not saying it's not capable, but I don't think that's what they want to do. So I think the key for them is slowing down the pace, forcing Alabama into turnovers, defending the three-point line, which is an area where they can really distance themselves in ball games. State's got to be able to do that. So you know, one and done possessions, running your possessions effectively and having efficient possessions on the other end. If that's the key for them in this game.
Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah. Low scoring State. That is how State wins games. You go back to the Auburn game. It was a low scoring game. Tennessee was a little bit more high scoring, but defensively State was really good, especially in the first half of that game. And that's the Mississippi State way. I mean, right now, Robbie, we'll play that game. If you tell me right now that State holds Alabama under like 74 points and Tolu Smith is in double digits, I probably would tell you State won the game. I would feel pretty good about State's ability to win that game. So after this game, we've been talking about it for so long now that it really does start to go downhill as far as that schedule goes. You go Georgia, then you have the Saturday off at Missouri, Arkansas. I mean, you have a real chance to get three wins in those games. Ole Miss at home, you feel a lot better about State's chances to win that game. LSU on the road, that's a winnable game. Kentucky at home, going to be a bit of a tough game, but at the same time, that is Kentucky has shown you they're not an unbeatable force. You can get to them, especially if that game is going to be on the road. I feel pretty good about it. Obviously, being at home going to be about it. Auburn at Auburn is going to be very, very tough. There's no getting around that. At Texas A&M, tough game, but State has a chance in that one. And then the South Carolina game to finish out the season. It's just a much easier go of it these next few weeks for Mississippi State. They have a chance to pile up some wins, go ahead and solidify that tournament resume, and go into March knowing they're going to be in the NCAA tournament instead of hoping they're going to be in the NCAA tournament. Let's move into the rest of the show. That's brought to you by our friends over at the Mississippi Beef Council, who want to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. When you are cooking out this weekend, and I know that you're going to be, it's going to be great weather for cooking out this weekend, fire up the grill. Nothing beats the sizzle of beef. We're talking about steaks, burgers. I saw a great video today online. My guy, Bradley Robinson, Chud's Barbecue, he made a cheeseburger sausage, and then he wrapped it in a puff pastry and, like, smoked them. So you get, like, the crispy puff pastry, and then there's the sausage with the cheese already in the middle, made a little salt. It's like, that looks great. I should do that.
I'm sure it is.
I might give that a try. That's just one of the many – that's the thing about beef. It's so versatile. There's just so many things you can do with it, from eating just a steak to, I mean, you can turn it into sandwiches, into you know, you can do beef back ribs. You got Mississippi pot roast, which I haven't done in a while, and I need to do one pretty soon. It's just good eating. And you know that I don't need to tell you how good a steak is, do I? If I need to tell you how good a steak is, buddy, we need to get together and get you up to date on some things. So, beef, it's what's for dinner, thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District. That's the place to find the smoked Southern soul food that you're looking for. It's going to be the place to find Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk a little later on this afternoon, because that's apparently where we're going for lunch, and I'm very happy about that.
Yes.
I can only go a couple weeks without being there, and then I'd be like, I got to go back. You know, it's like, it's not an addiction. It's just more like a low-grade problem. Like, I need a chicken Chipotle taco today. Yeah.
I think it's okay to say it's an addiction. It's a good addiction.
I think addiction by its definition is bad. You can't have a good addiction. Is anybody addicted to giving to charity? I don't think so.
I will admit I'm addicted to the pork belly tacos.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
I think about them every morning when I wake up. I crave them.
Yeah.
To me, that might
be
an addiction.
What? You can have them today.
Yay.
All right. Well, we're going to head on over there. Hope to see you there. And if you're ever in Starkville, make sure you've got a trip to Two Brothers Smoked Meats on the agenda. Great products and great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. They've been doing it now for 49 years. When you need technology for your business, give them a call. And then if something goes wrong and you need service, you're just calling them right back. They take care of it for you. You don't have to worry about a call center. You don't have to worry about a 1-800 number. You don't have to worry about an out-of-state technician who maybe takes a week to 10 days to get to see you. This is a Mississippi company. They're going to be able to help you out a lot of times the exact same day because they're just down the road from you. So give them a call today if your business needs any kind of new technology. 601-362-9192 or visit them online, absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems helps your business do business. Maroon & Co., our new sponsor, we are very excited to be with them. And you should be excited because when you're talking about unique Mississippi State gift ideas, that's where you want to go. A lot of places, they all sell the same kind of polos and the same shirts and the same hats. Not the case at Maroon & Co. They have got a lot of great different items that you really can't get anywhere else. And, of course, they are the exclusive provider for the Bulldog Initiative. So if you want a Bulldog Initiative polo or pullover like you've been seeing Coach Lebby wear, the place to get them is at Maroon & Co. So when you go in there, grab one of those polos because it helps out the Bulldog Initiative, and then help yourself to some other great gear as well. Maroon & Co. here in Starkville is the place to shop when you're visiting Mississippi State for Mississippi State gear. I talked to Coach Justin Parker on Wednesday at Thunder and Lightning Live. That was my first chance to talk to him since he arrived here at Mississippi State. And I got to tell you, Robbie, I could not have been more impressed. Very sharp guy. You see why he was in demand. And he had a lot to say about pitching. So let's listen to that interview now. I talked earlier this week to Coach Justin Parker, Mississippi State University pitching coach. We are back here on Thunder and Lightning. We're brought to you by our friends at the Vicksburg Convention and Visitors Bureau. Visit Vicksburg, my hometown. Man, I'm so excited about that sponsorship. I'm also excited to have Coach Justin Parker on with us for the first time here on Thunder and Lightning. And, Coach, I asked this question of Coach Lemonis a couple months ago when I had him on my podcast, but I'm going to ask it of you now. You had a good job at South Carolina. That's a good program. They win a lot of baseball games there. They had a lot of success. Why come to Mississippi State?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. I've got that a lot. You know, it just was something that as I went through this process, you know, and my family was heavily involved as well, obviously. You know, this was just a place that, you know, I was very impressed with last spring when we played here. You know, I've known a lot of the other coaches and the people involved for a while. And, you know, it was a pitching staff that I kind of looked at from the other dugout and competing against and saw a lot of talent, a lot of potential, maybe some of it untapped. And, you know, just as a competitor, I think this summer it was something that I thought, you know, just I'm really looking forward to taking on a challenge like that. You know, I don't know if I think you have to be a little bit crazy to coach in the SEC anyway, but this was a challenge that I was excited about as I started to learn more about it. So, I'm excited to be here.
There's no getting around the fact that Mississippi State struggled as a pitching staff last year. The term I've used a lot is systemic, that it wasn't just one guy struggling or a couple of games. It was all year long, and there were huge problems with everybody on the staff. Have you had enough time, you feel? I mean, it's been 9 months since the end of the season going into opening day. Is that enough time to correct the issues to a point where you feel confident in your guys going into the SEC season?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. And not being a part of that, you know, seeing it again just in a small little snapshot from across the field in the other dugout, I felt some of that. You know, when we were here last spring, you could feel a little bit of the here we go again. It was a group that, you know, again, just did not lack talent and potential and horsepower by any means. It just was a lot of the other things, a lot of the little things. Some of it was an attitude and an identity. Some of it was a toughness when things get hard. Some of it was you know, really just the pitchability, the poise, the vision, the direction, the command. And so, you know, I think so. I like this group a lot, you know, and I've had a lot of really good pitching staffs. And I told these guys this the other day in a meeting. This is the most talented pitching staff that I've ever had. And it's deep. We still have things to work on, certainly. You know, we have to continue to grow individually and as a group collectively. But this is a group that I'm very confident in, and I've watched work over the course of, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9 months together. And I know that's a short period of time, but I love coaching because I love teaching, and, you know, really feel like this was a hungry group that I took over. It was a very capable group, both physically from a talent standpoint and mentally from a learning standpoint. And I feel like we have covered a lot of that ground, and, you know, all those deficiencies last year, they were certainly not lost on me. You asked the initial question about, you know, taking the job and moving here in the first place. You know, that was something that I was, you know, obviously well aware of, and, you know, knew I had my work cut out for me a little bit, but this has been an awesome group to work with. They're hardworking, again, very talented physically and mentally and intelligent. And, you know, I'm excited to watch them continue to grow and compete and, you know, and go out here this year and prove everybody that, you know, they are a little bit banged up inside. I will tell you that. And I think, for me, and this is the way I prefer it, but, you know, nobody's talking about us a ton, and we kind of like that as a group. We know we have a lot to prove, and, you know, we'll continue to maintain that chip on our shoulder.
What's something that this team struggled to do a season ago that you've seen improvement on in the practice months that you've had? Something that, you know, be it control, their mechanics. I want to talk a little bit about mechanics in just a minute. But what's something that you said, okay, this team wasn't doing this last year, but I feel like we've got a little bit of a handle on it thus far?
Yeah, I mean, I put a priority on movement patterns, and, you know, a lot of people call it mechanics. I kind of, as I'm coaching the guys and teaching them, I kind of refer to it more just as a sequence and timing and things like that. And when you do those things correctly, you free yourself up to command the baseball better. So I think we've done that at a much higher clip. You know, that to me is where it starts and stops. You know, you got to allow your team to play behind you. And, you know, when you look at the successors in our league and across college baseball, you know, guys that can they can limit the free bases and keep the ball in the ballpark, you know, they typically have a chance to win a lot of games. It's things have skewed a little bit more towards being hitter friendly in the last couple of years when you look at just the addition of the TrackMan strike zone in our league for the umpires. So the strike zone's gotten a lot smaller. The balls are harder than they've ever been. The hitting coaches and the technology have allowed those guys to really prepare for your starter like they've seen them all week, where, you know, there used to be a feeling out process. That's gone. So you see it in across the league in ERAs. I mean, even some of the best pitchers, top half of the first round pick type pitchers in the SEC, they're in the 4.5 to 5 ERA ranges oftentimes. So, you know, those are things that, you know, we put a priority on, just making sure we attack the zone, we keep the ball in the ballpark. You know, I put a premium on pitching fearless, especially to the inside part of the plate. You know, teaching guys, you know, a secondary fastball, just making sure that they can get down underneath the bat and keep the ball on the ground more often than the air, because, you know, there are even days, you know, whether we're at home, you know, or on the road, there are days where fly balls are home runs, and it's just, especially when things heat up, you just got to be able to be able to combat anything, you know, on the road, at home, weather, wind blowing in, warm days, all of it. So those are a few points of emphasis, just making sure that guys are competing in the strike zone, they're pitching fearlessly, they have the toughness to deal with adversity, because it's coming. I mean, that's what this league is. That's why everyone signs up. You're going to deal with adversity. So just having a plan, having an answer when you have to get off the mat and compete. And so those are some things with our staff. And then, of course, there's a lot of intricacies individually, guys just growing their arsenal, growing their delivery, growing their confidence, growing their ability to compete and game manage and handle the run game and all those different things.
Coach, I'm an old man. I remember when wins was an important pitching stat, and so I struggle sometimes with analytics, with the amount of data that you guys get as coaches now and put into practice as a coach. How important is data and analytics to you as a coach and what you want to do?
Well, I'm glad you said that, because that's been an emphasis of mine all fall, and then I had that message again this week with our group. It's just, you know, there are a lot of guys that are watching you. There are young kids watching you. There's the media watching you. There are fans. There are scouts. And guys are going to ask, is he a winner? You know, because they want to know that, especially the scouting community. This is a program that historically has been scouted and has had tremendous success in professional baseball, and that's going to be a question that people ask about you. And so if we're not going about it every day with that being at the top of the pyramid and then everything else trickling down, yes, to answer your question, the analytics are a big part of it, but it's only to give you a better arsenal and a better chance to have success and win the game. So, you know, I kind of think of myself as a blend. You know, I do have a really good understanding of the technology and the analytics and how it impacts and how to get, you know, each guy in the best position for them, how to use their stuff and their arsenal in the best situations, making sure they're using their stuff appropriately. But also, you know, you're going to go out and pitch in, you know, arguably one of the best leagues that you're going to face in all of baseball until you get to the major league playoffs. And a lot of that stuff's not going to matter. It's going to be the competitor, the toughness, the ability to process and problem solve in real time and do all those things that, again, I think you're spot on, because, you know, even when you look at baseball at the professional level, there's, you know, in the last 2 years, I think there's less than 10 guys that threw 200 innings and they're starting less and less to really care about longevity in that starting pitcher. They're starting to care less and less about Cy Young winners winning games and putting much more of an emphasis on those analytics. But I still sure put a premium on guys that win games and make it really hard to lose when they have the ball in their hand.
Coach, only we've got about a minute left. We had a chance to talk to some of your guys this past Friday, and they all talked about you talking to them about the way they throw pitches. It's not It was more mental and physical, body and mind kind of working together, more of a process. If you can explain the process of pitching in 60 seconds, I'll be pretty impressed with you. So go ahead.
Well, I just think it's a belief and a confidence in what you're doing. And I've seen this group work really hard at all those things, starting with building their deliveries, believing in their arsenal, seeing the ball go through the hoop a little bit in both their bullpens and their live work. And then it's just a commitment to trusting that. and believing in themselves, believing in each other, and growing as a group. So I've seen that. I'm very confident in that. And we will continue to be a very hardworking pitching staff as we move forward.
That feels like a lot of great information you just gave us, Coach. I really appreciate your time. Justin Parker, Mississippi State pitching coach, opening day. It's not too far off, 17 days. Thanks for joining me, Coach.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Really appreciated Coach Parker's time. And like I said, I feel like we got a lot of information out of that. Robbie, the confidence is there for him that this pitching staff is going to be okay, that they have everything they need. He feels like from a talent perspective, there's no question that he's got plenty of good arms to work with. But he talks about mentally this team was a little bit broken last year by what went on. And that's going to be a big part of fixing it. But he felt confident that that's going to be the case. You know, we've been saying for the past few weeks that, you know, hey, they don't have to be great. They just got to be better, right, than they were a season ago. What happens if this pitching staff is actually good? We haven't really delved into the idea that things might go well for Mississippi State.
Yeah, I mean, if that's the case, I think this team has the potential to be really, really good, because to me, the lineup has – I don't know if the lineup strengthened as much as it was last year, but the positions have. You should be better at catcher. Ross Highfield should be better this year. You've created a lot of competition in the middle infield, and I think you're probably going to be pretty good there. I think you're going to be really good at third base. The outfield looks to be good. So the defense is really good. The offense should be really good. If the pitching is really good, this team's really good. It's got to be. I think we talked enough last year about how, you know, if they could just pitch, where would this team be? If you look at the stats and you start knocking down some of those big ball games where you're giving up 12, 13 runs plus, mm-hmm. 20 plus runs or whatever, and you start tacking on wins instead, and you go from 9 wins to 14, 15 wins last year, you're on the verge, you're on the cusp of hosting. And that's, you know, to me, that's a huge difference. And if that happens this year, I think they very well could do that. So the pitching to me is the biggest question that needs to be answered at this point. They've shown they can defend the last couple of years, even when they were bad. Last year they didn't. 2022 they were a pretty good defensive team. They've shown that they can hit. The only thing that's been the common denominator in those last two seasons is your pitching. So if they fix that this year, which I'm not expecting to be that massive of an improvement, but you just need an incremental improvement just to show that you're getting better, they should be in good shape.
I want to make a guarantee, by the way. I don't know about this year. I don't know about this year, but I guarantee that next year in 2025, Mississippi State makes the SEC tournament in baseball. Guarantee
it. I would put my mortgage on Mississippi State making the tournament next year.
Bet your bottom dollar that it happens. Yes, the SEC announced today that starting next year, it will be all 16 teams now. In Hoover for the tournament. So they'll set up a double bye for the top four seeds in the tournament next year. That was always coming, right? It didn't make sense. Especially you think about these how much did the city of Hoover lose these last two seasons with no Mississippi State, and then last year with no Mississippi State and Ole Miss? Those are fan bases that come to Hoover. So, it's all about money. So you got to get everybody over there.
Even Alabama doesn't come every year, or
right.
Auburn.
Right.
You know, when they're good, they're there. But you know, it's not like that. It's like LSU, State, Ole Miss, and sometimes Arkansas will travel. But really, the top three that travel are LSU, Ole Miss, and State.
Yeah.
And they're the ones buying up hotels. They're the ones buying up tickets. They need all of them, and they're that. And I guarantee you, that's what they're thinking: is we can't. We cannot have the last two seasons where State and Ole Miss, one of the two or both, are out. It's not going to be able to happen.
Yeah. All right. We'll be back with you guys on Sunday night or Monday, and we'll be talking Mississippi State sports. Plenty to talk about as basketball continues to move on, and as football starts, you know, we're starting to get the whispers of spring practice. We should start seeing off-season drill videos. I don't know if we've seen any yet. Have we seen one?
They posted one the other day, I think,
Okay.
and they just posted some pictures of
As you
some of the
know,
freshmen working out.
Mississippi State has a new strength and conditioning coach, so which means they have never worked harder. They
That's
are
right.
working harder than they ever did before under the previous regime, who was doing all sorts of crazy stuff. This guy is more old school, hardcore workout kind of guy. So, looking forward to that.
Their workout gear has state script all over it. So,
well, of course it does, because that is the way of the future. You're welcome. I'd like to point that out one more time. All right, guys, have a great weekend. Robbie and I'll be back with you next week for Robbie Falk. I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.